Ladies and gentlemen, this is TFJ and Mike, and before we get into From the Command Center Episode 13, just want to say we had an extremely long feedback email that was read during the episode. It actually takes up about 25 minutes of the intro, so if you want to fast forward to get to our Wild Force discussion on your iPod or iTunes or whatever, go to about the 25-26 minute mark. I'm sorry. We will, in the future, be reading all extended feedback at the end of the podcast, so I apologize in advance.
This is Eric, the Quantum Ranger, and you're listening to From the Command Center. Q-Rex, arise!
We are live. Welcome to a collaboration between the Pop Culture Network and the Geekcast Radio Network. From the Command Center, the podcast, episode 13, the Wild Force episode. I'm Scotty Cash, and joining me always is my boy, TFG1 Mike. What's up, buddy?
Hello.
How are you? Heard you've been sick.
I have been, like, deathly ill.
That's no good. Are you excited for Wild Force?
Yeah, I kind of am. Right before we started recording this, I had some weird flashes of memory of what the hell episode are we recording tonight? Because I finished Wild Force early. I mean, we're essentially like a week and a half late recording and releasing this episode. But even before that, I had Wild Force finished like the middle of last month. Whatever the hell last month was, April. So, like, 5 minutes before we started this recording, I was like, wait a sec, because I was listening to Spada's clip that that you guys will hear later, and I'm like, wait a second, that has nothing to do with Ninja Storm. And I'm like, wait a sec, oh crap, that's right, we're doing Wild Force. I was like, oh god, yeah, just being sick has just really thrown me off my game on a lot of stuff, and plus, in the last 5.5 weeks, I believe I've recorded 50 to 75 podcasts in total.
That's quite a bit.
Well, it's the price for running a podcasting network.
Amen.
So, I don't know. So we have a bunch of feedback. Very, very awesome. I think first, though, we're going to cut to a voicemail left by Tyler. And we'll be back after that to respond to his voicemail. We'll be back after this.
Hey, my name is Tyler. I'm a fan, and this is for From the Command Center. First off, I want to say I love the show. I just started. I'm just now starting episode 3. And I saw this thing over on the side saying, send us a voicemail. So I'm like, all right. My question for both of you is, well, okay, first off, Jason David Frank says, you know, I don't know if you've ever been there or if you've seen the videos on YouTube of the Paramorphicon. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen 2007 or if you've seen 2010, maybe both. He states, and also at other conventions as well, he states that he wishes they would make a primetime, full-hour adventure drama kind of thing for the Rangers. Like, for us adult fans, he wished they would make a grittier, darker story. Because he personally would rather play that than what he came back to play in Dino Thunder. He just wishes that he could have done that. And he says, you know what, I wish we could do that for the adult fans. So, let's say Saban finally decides, hey, you know what, let's do that. They've been so loyal to us forever. Let's make a good show for them. Instead of the crappy one that we got out right now. It's called Samurai. If they did that, would you be for it or against it? Like, what would your views on it, and what would you as a fan want to see in it?
So we are back, and Tyler wanted us to know, or wants our opinion on what we think of what Jason David Frank said a couple years ago at Power Morphicon about them doing a new movie for the old cast. If you're just going by the Mighty Morphin years and maybe the Zeo years, I guess you could put in like Aisha and Adam and whoever else, or Zach or Jason. The only thing is, if you're going by simply the first three seasons, the first three seasons of Mighty Morphin, is that Thoy Trang is not with us anymore. So
I'm thinking he's saying, what if Saban started a brand new series? Mm-hmm. That was more serious. That's what he's saying. He's not saying make a movie of the first three series. He's talking about, if you made a brand new series, what would you want to see? What do you think about it? And would you be for it? And that's what I'm thinking. He's not talking about you take these three and then take this guy. I'm thinking he's saying,
well, no, he's talking about, he was asking who would you want in it? And I was thinking about the cast.
Oh, I got you.
I was thinking about. So I wasn't thinking about the storylines. I'm just thinking in terms of cast, if you just want the MMPR adults to come back and do one, it would be kind of weird not having Thoy Trang there because she's no longer with us. But if you like include like the Zeo cast, you could bring in like Aisha and Adam and Rocky and all that stuff. I don't know. I honestly don't know what I would want to see. I know that Jason David Frank is huge in the fandom, and he loves the fandom and everything else with all the interviews I've heard him do. But at this point, for me personally, Mighty Morphin is what it is. Zeo is what it is. And I don't know, because they always bring in, they would never do that. They would never go the serious route and bring back the old cast members unless it was for an anniversary episode. They always, right now, as far as I can tell, they're always bringing in new casts and new this and new that. So I don't think this would ever happen. I mean, right. If it did happen, I honestly don't want it to happen, because I like seeing like new people and then the older ones coming back in the guest episodes.
Well, let's say this. We'll say they did a brand new series with five brand new people and it was all serious. Would you watch it?
Yeah.
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 And let me say thanks to Tyler for the voicemail. We appreciate it. But I got to agree with Mike. I for sure don't want to see any of the old Rangers in it, even Jason David Frank, which is obviously my favorite Ranger along with everybody else's. Right. I don't want to see a guy that did something so hokey move into something so serious, because to me, and to probably 80% of his fans, 90% of his fans, no matter how good he would play in that role, he's always going to be Tommy the Green Ranger.
Right.
So,
he came back for Dino Thunder and...
Yeah, but Power Rangers is Power Rangers. It's still hokey and fun and...
Right, but I mean, he wasn't as, like, in Dino Thunder, and we're not even to Dino Thunder yet, it's a couple episodes away, but even in Dino Thunder, he had some hokey lines, but it wasn't like when he was doing MMPR or when he, you know, did Turbo or Zeo. So, I mean, because he was more of an adult at the point of Dino Thunder. But, yeah, no, I just prefer leaving the old cast in the past as far as a new series goes. I just don't think it would work.
I would definitely give it – I would probably watch it because, like Tyler mentioned – they do have that crap on TV right now called Samurai, and I still watch every episode of that. So
what is wrong with you?
I don't know. I just want to support it so it doesn't go away forever.
Right.
So if I have to sit through a half an hour of poop a week in order to get another different season, so be it. But,
Samurai is the first time that they have actually, first time since Mighty Morphin that they've actually done a second season with the same cast.
It's because they have so much crap going on. They had so much stuff going on in the first Sinkinger that they had an opportunity to split it up into two seasons. So
right, yeah.
But thanks for the email, Tyler.
Voicemail, yes.
Voicemail.
That's right. Okay, so I've got a comment from the Pop Culture Network forums from Chaotix12345. I apologize that we did not read his Time Force thoughts from last episode. I do have those at the end of this episode when we close out this episode. But he says, entertaining episode, guys. Having Spade on for the other 90% of the show that he usually isn't present for was nice. Spade was right on the money when he said that the video editing and... video editing that Linkara does for his History of Power Rangers series is a pretty taxing process, considering how many episodes he has to weed through to get specific moments. Plus, you also have to keep in mind, we essentially said all this in the episode. Yes, video editing is way more taxing than audio editing. Let's see, trying to make Mystic Force not suck. That's funny, because from what... I don't know, just... Mystic Force, we'll get to that. Yes, Honto in Go-Onger was quite wacky, but most of... Yeah, this is all Mystic Force stuff. I'm sorry, Chaotix, but I'm kind of sick right now, and I just... You're talking about all stuff that we haven't even gotten to yet. Fun fact, in Gingaman, which I forget which one Gingaman was, Bull Black's little brother was killed instead of his son. Oh, that was for,
Lost Galaxy,
yeah. Bull Black's little brother was killed instead of his son, like the Magna Defender. Yeah, that's interesting. Actually, Scotty, I don't recall Saban saying that he specifically wants to adapt Gokaiger next. There was news on a couple of PR fan sites casting slides for Gosager adaptation being taken down, and Iris Hampton, the show's casting director, saying that they were changing their strategy to take full advantage of the 20th anniversary. That would imply Gokaiger being adapted, but Saban himself really hasn't said anything on the matter. He says he's not 100% sure on the details. It's been a while since I've watched Lightspeed, but I could definitely believe that there was a very spur-of-the-moment mention in Operation Lightspeed that Chad and Joel used to work in aquatic and avionic rescue work. I think their Sentai partners did, but Chad was a dolphin coach or whatever he was, and Joel was a stunt pilot. I don't remember. The Shout Factory announcement made my day. Can't wait to own my favorite seasons in Space, Time Force, Dino Thunder, whatever else. Actually, the funny thing is that the DVDs, Shout Factory not only announced Mighty Morphin Season 1 Part 1, they also announced a complete series set, 40 DVD set. I think it's from Mighty Morphin to Lost Galaxy. So,
and it's $200.
Good Lord.
And I want it.
Let's see. He joneses for interviews, so he can't wait to see who else we can recruit. I agree. Circuit is win. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. That means I have to edit this. Damn it. He says, I agree, Circuit is win. Kind of odd that Gluto was the main villain in Time Ranger, given his main source of attack was rocketing into the Rangers using fart flame propulsion. Yeah, I'm glad that we got Rancic instead. Actually, Scotty, the Mighty Morphin Pirate Rangers April Fool's joke originated at rangercrew.com, spread to Ranger Central, among other sites. It was pretty funny joke, though. Hopefully the actual Gokaiger adaptation is very similar to that fake description.
No, I knew about Gokaiger coming way before April 1st. Saban already had a cast of 5 or 6 people for whatever was going to be the next season of Power Rangers, which would have been season 20. Well, they completely scrapped that idea, and Saban, I just looked for it, and I couldn't find where it was, but Saban himself said he was getting rid of, he was going to do away with that and do an anniversary season like the anniversary season is supposed to be, or something along the lines like how other people do the anniversary season, which is 35th anniversary is Gokaiger. So he didn't come out and say, we're going to do Gokaiger. You know, in theory, he said, he beat around the bush and said, we're going to do Gokaiger, because he already had the cast. And all those casts that were casted are now sitting at home.
He goes on to say, Spade is mostly correct that the Battleizers are almost always not included in the Sentai versions. However, SPD's Battleizer was actually used in the Magi Ranger, Mystic Force Sentai counterpart, versus Deca Ranger, SPD's Sentai counterpart, team-up movie. That was a lot of fun, since a lot of original PR elements don't see use in the Sentai. I don't really think that comparing PR and Sentai versions of different seasons to see which one is better is that necessary. The way I see it is that there are two completely different things that should both be enjoyed for their own merits and unique things that they bring to the table. That's what I figure anyway. Come on, Movie Madness was awesome just because of Katie's amazing musical number. No, dude, sorry. I do not like... I know Scotty and Spada liked Movie Madness, but I just couldn't sit through that. He says, that's all I got for you this month. Keep up the entertaining work. By the way, you forgot to read... Yes, we know. We forgot to read your thoughts. Looking forward to the next episode. He wrote this up like shortly after we released the Time Ranger episode or the Time Force episode. And then I got this super long email from a fan of ours, Pat. It was actually mainly, but it started off like a, you know, full on Geekcast radio network where he gave his own thoughts on all of our shows and everything else. I actually cut out the FTCC stuff. So I'll read that now. I'm actually going to read his, it's in paragraphs because I actually responded to him in line. So my thoughts on it, at least in his first email, because he sent two different emails. My thoughts on it are in line with what his
are you going to read email. All this?
Huh? Yeah.
This is a small book.
I know it is, but.
Oh, wow, dude.
You know, fan service, dude. We gotta appreciate our fans, right? All right,
well, you read this. I'm going to run a McDonald's. I'll be back in an hour.
Okay. So Pat says, my recent GCR and fix is from the command center. I'm on the In Space episode. I wish I had met Mike before this show started and could be on the episode. Sentai PR is my bread and butter. I'm Flashman X on Ranger Board, and Sentai 01 is my name for just about everything else. When I was 3, my dad was stationed in Japan. I fell in love with Sentai, Flashman, and Maskman. I had 2 VCR tapes with both series and Spielvineps. Spielvin was later adapted to JB and Caitlin's VR Trooper counterparts. I wore the tape out growing up. When I saw the commercial for PR, I was, oh my god, that's just like Flashman and Maskman. I was hooked. I started collecting Sentai. I recorded every PR episode. I now frequent Ranger Board. I wrote my own PR fan fiction called Destiny Knights. I collect PR fix on my Nook Color. I'm currently watching all of PR. I'm in the middle of Zio. Back in the day, I didn't pay much attention to some PR because Season 3 was in and out of and Turbo sucked. Some series I have only seen part of, like Lightspeed and Time Force. Dino Thunder, I quit watching because of the White Ranger. I loved Ava Ranger and Abra Killer is awesome. I fucking hate Trent and the clone idea that ruined the series for me. And my response was, you should watch Time Force. It is a great series. Dino Thunder is amazing outside of the fact that it's Tommy. I mean, like even if, and the reason why I said outside of the fact that it's Tommy, Dino Thunder, even though Tommy is there, Dino Thunder is just awesome on its own, even if Tommy wasn't there. And I mean, he wasn't even there for a portion of the series because he was frozen and all that stuff. All right, so he goes on to talk about the podcast. Now, I was holding my opinion on FTCC for a bit to give you some episode count. I have to say, in the In Space ep, I kind of agree with the fan that you told to screw himself. Doing a PR podcast, I would hope you were a little more informed. There's a few topics I wish were touched on. That's why I said I wish I could have been in the third host. I yelled at my iPod when you mentioned Master Vile and Rito in Season 2. We've been over this. It's not that I'm yelling at Pat, but we've been over this multiple times. Yes, I know. I screwed it up. I wish were mentioned like the Zoo 2 footage of Season 1. Saban had the Sentai Studio shoot footage only for PR after Cyclopsis eps. Let's see what else he says. 2 main clips showing. Let's see. 2 main clips showing the arrival of the Machine Empire, Rita and Zed freaking out, and scientist in an observatory and a Jenner spotting the ships, Bulk and Skull having running with the cogs, all tied in with its coming background song. During Turbo, I was yelling, mention the stupid monsters like the pizza monster and that the baked Rangers into a giant pizza. oh, God. Hopefully you are still listening to FTCC. We brought up the MMPR Season 2, Season 3 thing. The information we researched blended the two seasons together. The turbo weapons were just there. I'm sorry, they just were. They looked like super updated versions of the MMPR Season 1 episodes, Season 1 weapons in my opinion. I knew of Scorpion Rain, but Scotty didn't. That's why we didn't spend much time on it. I did not know about the Sentais. Again, our main focus is what actually aired here in the US. And then I mentioned the Pizza Monster. Why we didn't mention him, because it was stupid, and it would have been a curse, a cursing fest on my part. Do you have any responses to any of this at this?
No.
Okay. let's see. You know, we appreciate it, you know, Pat sending this email, but as Scotty said, it is essentially a book. And it's going to take us the entire episode to
yeah, we don't need to read all this.
To read all this.
He pretty much says he likes our show and points out all the crap we messed up, which is perfectly fine. But we've gone on record to say numerous times that I have two jobs, two kids, and a wife. I watch what I can. I remember what I can. Mike does 90,000 podcasts a month. He does what he can as well. We're both big Power Ranger fans. I try to watch Sentai when I can.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean.
The thing is, you know, I mentioned earlier, and I'm sorry to cut you off there. I mentioned earlier, and I've mentioned in other episodes, there are anywhere from 38 to 50 episodes per season, per series of Power Rangers. It, along with everything else that I do, it takes me a month to get through an entire series.
Me too.
I mean, you're lucky that this show is once a month. It could be once every other month. Honestly, it could be.
And that might sound stupid, but it's honestly true. When you watch a show that's week to week, you have time to let it sink in what you just watched. When I watch a series, I watch it sometimes 3 or 4 episodes a day, and it's like, you know, it's all one giant episode because we watch the whole season in a month's time. So it's like,
yeah.
I don't even remember what happened in the 5th episode, let alone the 19th episode. And you want me to remember a detail like someone's last name's cousin's mom?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I appreciate what Pat's saying. And I really appreciate the email. And I would be glad to read all this email. And even if he wants to email, we could talk Sentai stuff. Because I have all kinds of questions because I'm still trying to catch up on Sentai. But,
yeah,
you know.
You know, he goes on to say that he wanted I'm just recalling this from memory because I did respond to this. I'm not actually reading it. He has an idea where he wants us to have Spada's Sentai thing longer and in the beginning of the podcast. And that's as much as the only reason why I don't watch Sentai is because it's not in English. That's really the only if it had English dubs, I would watch it. You know, I probably would, but I do not watch stuff with subtitles that is not in friggin' English. I just don't.
You know why?
Anything.
I know why.
Yeah, but
because you have ADD and you can't when you have 90,000 things going on at once.
Exactly.
So you don't like watching the screen the entire time. You got to be doing something else, and it's hard for you to read the words and watch that and be translating something at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And his idea was he wanted to have more Sentai in the podcast, and I'm sorry, we've stated from day one, before Scotty even got into Sentai, we stated from day one, this podcast is for the American versions.
Yeah, plus we have just as many, we probably have more emails saying, don't bother with Sentai, and just focus on Power Rangers, than we do people saying, hey, can we get a little bit more Sentai?
I mean, dude, if you want to do your own podcast, specifically about Sentai, I think that would be great. I know Spada can talk Sentai into the ground, but Sentai is just not my thing, and it's not gonna be a main focus of this podcast.
He says Spada's segment is my favorite. That's funny because it's also my favorite.
Right? Yeah. So there you go. That's the feedback. Getting into the actual show. Wow. We are up to Wild Force.
26 minutes in, and we haven't even mentioned anything.
I know.
We gotta start saving that for the end of the podcast.
I know.
If people don't want to listen to it, they can shut it off.
I know. Sorry, people. It is the 10th anniversary of Power Rangers franchise based on the Super Sentai It's Gal Ranger. That's what it is. That's all I'm calling it. Which is itself was the 25th anniversary of Super Sentai. Power Rangers Wild Force takes place in 2002. The first part of the series was originally broadcast February to August 2002 on the Fox Kids television block following the sale of Fox Family Worldwide, renamed ABC Family Worldwide, Inc., including Saban Entertainment, renamed BVS Entertainment, to Disney by Ham Saban and News Corporation. So essentially, this, I know a lot of people are going to argue with this, but essentially, even though the MMPR studio team was still doing work on this series, this essentially is the first Disney-produced series.
No, this is Disney's first series. This is they've taken claim to Wild Force.
Right, exactly. Wild Force is the first and only season to be under the copyright of Disney Enterprises. Disney had bought Power Rangers along with other Saban properties partway through the end of Power Rangers Time Force. My general memories, just kind of, you know, getting into general memories thoughts here, is I hated this show when it aired.
That's because you didn't know what you were talking about.
No, okay, now wait a second here, hold on. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about when it first aired in 2002. I was watching Time Force. Time Force was awesome. And then it went to, ooh, me Tarzan, me gonna be Power Ranger. Oh my freaking God, I hated this when I was 22 years old. I hated this 10 years ago. It was just god-awful. At that time, I had seen probably 6 episodes out of the entire series. At that time, up until about 3 years ago, I knew nothing about Forever Red. I just didn't care for it as a 22-year-old male, you know, going to college and doing all that happy crap and everything else. What about you? What do you remember watching this series when it first aired?
I remember not watching. I stopped after Turbo, and I didn't watch anything. I was going to watch Time Force, and yeah, was like, Power Rangers new series, and it's like, and I thought, oh, good, Stargate. Yeah, I'm not watching that. But then I seen a commercial, Forever Red, and I was like, well, what's this? So I started watching Wild Force. Every few episodes, I definitely did not watch it like I should have, because it had animals in it again, and I was sick of watching the commercials for the spaceships this and the Voltron that and the robot right. this, because if you know, I am an animals or a dinosaur type of, you know, person for the Zords.
Right.
Now, I do like Time Force. Don't get me wrong. I do like the, you know, a lot of the other Zords, but my favorites are animals. So I watched a few episodes here and there, but then when I started doing From the Command Center,
the video show.
Video show. I watched all of Wild Force, and I absolutely love it. You know, there is a bit. No. There is a lot of terrible acting, especially at the beginning, and this stupid love song that plays when
the flute. Yeah.
No, not the flute. When Danny and that flower chick are.
Oh yes.
That yeah. gay. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That song that is not cool plays in the background, and it's just like, it didn't go anywhere with it. It was extremely lame. It didn't really build anything for Danny. I mean, what's it? What kind of story did that build for Danny? That he's a sissy?
Because
yeah, good for you. But you know, then I watch it now, and I like it even that much more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really, really enjoy Wild Force. I mean, the storylines are good to a certain extent, but it's like, it's constant. There's constantly something good or new happening. You know, there is a couple standalone episodes, but for the most part, they're building up to something else.
Right. As I said before, 10 years ago, didn't give a crap about this show.
Right.
And I have been under that assumption since then. Last month when I was I actually watched the first 26 episodes within a weekend. Because I was like, okay, I want to, because I was still under that mentality of, this show sucks, I just want to get through it. So I watched the first 26 episodes all the way through. And of course, I would take breaks here and there to do other stuff, but I mean, like, within one weekend, I had 26 episodes watched. And I found myself really liking it. Outside of those few episodes that are one-offs, I found myself really liking the story. The acting sucks. It really does. Especially Cole. Cole's acting is the worst acting in this show.
At first.
At least through the first 20 episodes. It is. It's bad.
You can definitely tell that his acting gets better because he's definitely more intense towards the end.
Right, yeah. My main problem watching through the series is actually when, you know, they build Cole up, they build him up, his acting gets better and better. He's not the best actor in the world, but his acting gets better in the series. And my biggest problem with him is they take him back a step in Forever Red. They bring in all the other Rangers, and he meets all of them, shakes all their hands, no problem. And then Jason shows up, and because Jason is the end-all, be-all, very first Red Ranger, they make Cole wipe his hand on his pants before he shakes Jason's hand. I've watched, dude, trust me. I'm not trying to argue with you, but I've watched Forever Red enough times.
Yeah, but he didn't shake his hand. That was the point.
Jason, well, right. He stuck his hand out, but Jason just tapped him on the shoulder. But my point is, before that, he, you know, would, you know, shake someone else's hand or, you know, pat somebody on the back. And he would just do it. And yes, I know the whole point of Cole in the beginning of the series was, oh, he's a, you know, dirty ape man, blah, 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 needs a shower. They pointed that out very, very clearly in the very beginning. But with any of the other Rangers in Forever Red, he did not do that. And then once Jason comes in, he wipes his hand on his pants.
He didn't shake any of their hands.
I don't know.
We'll have to go back and watch it. But
yeah, we'll have to go back and watch it. But
it's like a rookie thing, like a hazing thing, like a... Yeah. It's not really a disrespect thing. It's like it's what happens. It's no different than a new quarterback and a veteran quarterback. It's no different than a point guard and a rookie point guard. You know what I mean? He's disrespecting him because that's what he's supposed to do. I don't think it necessarily took away from Cole's character because,
well, I mean, like, once they had that episode of them giving him a bath and them saying, you know, hey, you need to pay attention to your hygiene. You're not in the jungle anymore. I mean, they didn't really do anything with that after that episode. I mean, we just naturally assumed that, okay, he's taking showers now. Great. And then the whole thing of, oh, hey, let's just assume he's dirty. Let's have him wipe his hand on his pants before he extends it to shake Jason's hand. That's where I'm going with this. It just seemed like it was a backwards move in the fact that he had now become clean before, like, the first episode had happened. I don't know. It's just weird. Let's talk about the Rangers. We have Cole Evans, who is the Red Ranger, Taylor Earhart, who is the Yellow Ranger, Max Cooper, who is the Blue Shark Ranger, Danny Delgado, the Black Bison Ranger, Alyssa Enri, I forget how you say her name. Enri, I think it is, as the White Tiger Ranger, and then Merrick as the Lunar Wolf Ranger.
Wait, before we get too far,
go ahead.
Ricardo Medina Jr. is actually Decker on Power Rangers Samurai, and I did not know that until I listened to what's his name, Daniel Southworth's interview with Lisa J.
Yeah, with no
pain. And I had no idea, and I was like, that's why he looks familiar, because I would watch it, and I would be like, what has he been in? He's been in something, and I never did IMDb him, because right. His name didn't look familiar either. But I think it's like Rick Medina or something like that. It's not Ricardo on...
Well, it says Ricardo Medina, but IMDb is weird. Sometimes
on Samurai, when they show him, it just says Rick Medina. That's all. It doesn't say Ricardo Medina Jr. It says Rick Medina.
Huh, weird.
Yep. So they're probably like, maybe, I don't know, maybe someone's heard that he was a D-bag, because a lot of people have said that this guy is a super D-bag.
Yeah.
So continue on with the Rangers, kind sir.
One thing this series did strangely to me, I kind of like it, I kind of think it's kind of stupid, but instead of assembling the team like you normally would, you have Taylor that's been there a year already, you have Max, What's his name? What the hell is the Black Ranger's name? Danny. Yeah, Max and Danny and Alyssa all join afterwards. So instead of assembling the team all at once, you have them assembling over a period of time. When I first watched that, I'm like, that's kind of weird.
Well, I mean, it just happens to be when they where they are when they are, because their Zords picked them. It was never
right.
Like, let's assemble this team. So if Max doesn't go fishing until April, and right. Danny is found his guy in May, you know what I mean? It's like they didn't really call right. out to him. It had to be like fate. It had to be like in their area.
Yeah, and I can see that with what the story, you know, with the backstories that they told, but just like that first, you know, those first couple of episodes where they said, "Oh, Taylor's been here the longest. We just joined up a couple months ago." That was just kind of it was more of, "Hey, let's join the 4-H club."
Right.
Or, "No, let's join the shop." You know, it just felt very high school to me as far as I don't know. It was just weird for me when I watched it originally. I mean, I got used to it, obviously, because I obviously saw the backstories of how they came to you know, join up, and that's fine. But when it was first mentioned, I was like, really? That's what they're doing with this? So do you have a favorite Ranger out of the six?
I mean, not necessarily. I really did love Cole Evans until I found out that he was Decker and he was a piece of crap. Because now it's like I watch it and I'm like, hey, look, you're a turd burglar. I hate you. You know, because I really did like Cole the first two times I seen it. But I'll probably go with, yeah, I'm going to go with nobody.
Merrick. I thought Merrick was pretty good.
Yeah, I can't stand looking at his hair.
Yeah, he does have that emo flip hair thing, yeah. But, I mean, no, I liked his story. I liked how he was brought in. I loved the is it Zhao? Oh God, what's the wolf spirit? Crap.
I can't think of it.
Not Jindrax. Let's see. Next, Manda. Crap. I forget what it's called. Oh. Zenaku.
Zenaku's your favorite.
Huh?
Zenaku was your favorite.
Yeah, I liked when he first showed up, and then obviously it was because, you know, the story that they were telling with Merrick, obviously Merrick was possessed by Zenaku, and I really like that. I love Zenaku's weapon, the Crescent Blade. I think that's one of the best weapons in Power Rangers history to this point. I thought that was really cool. But yeah, I would probably have to pick Merrick out of all of them. The rest of them just, I don't know, I just didn't really care all that much. And then you have, for allies, you have Princess Shayla, Animus, of course, in the crossover, the Time Force Rangers and all that stuff. And then the Red Rangers in Forever Red. Princess Shayla, I don't know. This was kind of weird. Hey, let's, instead of looking into a viewing globe or something like that, let's look into this pond.
Right, right. And there's a couple episodes where they kind of made her a bitch, and I was kind of confused by it. Like when he was like, when the org had the flute,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, look, if you don't like to listen to my music, well, then you can just go to hell. You know, and I was just like, why is she freaking out like that over something so stupid? It's like you're supposed to be this super crazy nice princess, and now you're freaking out because an org's playing a flute. You know, granted she didn't know about it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's just like she went over the deep end or something over something kind of silly.
Animus, I just, there's nothing to him. He's essentially more Zords. That's really all he is. I mean. I don't know. So the villains, you have Master Org, Jindrax Toxica, Retinax Nazor, Mandalok, Zenaku, as I already said, Artilla, Helicos, Jagalo, just a bunch of monsters. And the foot soldiers this season are called Putrids.
Putrids, yeah. I don't mind the Putrids whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't mind them so much.
I gotta be honest though, my favorite villain has gotta be Jindrax.
Yeah, I actually like Jindrax and Toxica, minus yes. her whole screaming thing after she says, "Make this monster grow."
Or right.
I don't like that too much. Master Org, I thought it was, you know, and again, you're going off of a story that happened 1,000 years before 2002, and finding a way to get the Master Org back. I thought that backstory was kind of weird, because even a mad scientist would not swallow seeds to become, I don't know. That was just the whole storyline for the human Master Org thing. Just kind of, it's your generic, you know, third wheel type of story where, oh, these two people fell in love and then they had Cole Evans and what's his name is jealous and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's just your classic jealousy story.
Right. Which is fine. It works.
It works. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I just, like, comparing to this point, all of the head villains, Master Org is not one of my favorites. I mean, he just doesn't really do anything for me. I like the characterization between Jindrax and Toxica. I thought that was really cool. And they're really not villains. I mean, they are villains, but they're really not in the end. I mean, they just want to be happy. They don't want to, you know, I don't know. Any other villains that you liked or any other monsters you want to talk about that you liked?
Not necessarily, but I just got done watching Forever Red and he didn't shake any of their hands.
He didn't?
Nope. He tapped the new guy on the shoulder and walked right by all of them and just kind of nodded his head at him like he already knows all about them.
Oh, well, what I was saying was that Cole shook some of their hands before Jason showed up. I thought I don't know. I got you.
Okay. No, I don't really have anything about any of the monsters. None of the really, like, the orgs stuck out to me like, wow, that was an awesome org.
Yeah.
Zenaku was probably
the best one.
The best villain, but my favorite was probably Jindrax goofy ass because he paid with a org credit card.
Oh, God, yes. I got to remember to put that picture in the post.
Yeah, you sure right. do.
Let's, and you know what that's referencing, don't you?
Yes.
I think everybody knows what the Jindrax credit card is referencing. That horrible, horrible 1997 Batman movie. Let's talk about the arsenal. Now, the growl phones.
This is what kicks off the cell phones, am I correct? I mean,
yes.
you had the digi morpher for Lightspeed, and who was it? Zane, the Silver Ranger, had the first actual cell phone, but this
right.
starts off where everybody starts having cell phones.
Yep.
Well, no, because Ninja Storm doesn't have cell phones.
No, they don't.
But anyway, these are the first. I guess this is the first whole series of cell phones, and
right.
I really don't like it. Like, the morph is cool, but I could care less about a growl phone. It just, I don't know. It just seems kind of, I don't know. It's just not. It's just missing something for me. I mean, it's okay, but it's just missing something for me. I don't know.
It doesn't seem plausible. I'm sorry, it doesn't. Even in 2002 standards of cell phones, it doesn't seem plausible when you're in the middle of a battle and you need to call in backup. I would rather just look at my wristwatch or communicator or wrist thing versus having to pull out a friggin' cell phone.
Yeah, there was times where, you know, they put the phone by their left and then switched it to the right and said wild access. And then there was times where, like, the Yellow Ranger, I believe the Yellow, maybe it was the White Ranger, was falling, and she was just like, wild access, and turned into the Ranger, all, you know,
yeah.
automatically. So it's like, I don't know. I think they just do it for, obviously, for drama effect, but, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because I like the Merrick character and I like the Lunar Wolf Ranger outfit and all that stuff. I kind of like the Lunar Collar. I thought that was kind of cool. It was slightly different from the growl phones. I thought it was kind of cool.
It was still a phone though, right?
A little bit, yeah. But
yeah.
I just thought the effects were cooler on it. What about the Crystal Sabers, the standard Wild Force weapon? It can launch a ground blast, summon the 5 core Wild Zords, or an auxiliary Wild Zord when placed inside the hilt.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. I keep thinking when I was watching it, I kept thinking, oh, hey, it's the secret of the sword with the jewel in the hilt.
It's okay. I mean, there was nothing. I don't know. The Red Ranger usually has a sword, so I guess technically that would have been his sword.
Yeah.
Because his sword was actually like that claw thingy or whatever, that like punch, that glove thingy that he wore.
Yeah.
With the fangs or whatever, but I don't know, it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, well, they all had swords, and then the larger sword was the jungle sword, which is made up of all their weapons, which you had the lion fang, the eagle right. sword, the shark fighting fins, the bison axe, and the tiger baton. I'm sorry, again, I will state, just like I stated Turbo, or, yeah, the jungle sword weapon is an updated version of the power sword from MMPR.
I know what you're talking about. It's not called the power sword. It's called the...
Oh, God. When they combine the five weapons.
Right.
When they're like, hey, daggers, hey, bow, hey, this.
Power blast? Combine. Oh, power weapons.
Yeah, the power weapons. The power blaster, right. This is essentially, just reading down this list, this is essentially the same, these five weapons are the same damn thing.
Well, I'm pretty sure almost every series has done that, haven't they? Where they combine their weapons to...
Yes, it has, but, like, in Time Force, it was completely different. I think in Space was completely... I mean, essentially, it's a small blaster, it really is, but, I don't know, this one, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, hey... There are the power daggers. There's the power lance. It just reminded me so much of the MMPR weapons.
Right. Well, I think they're just going by the phrase, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Right.
You know, it gets the point across. It kills the monster. The kids like it. You can sell more toys with it.
Right. So that's true.
You know, but on to the next one is the animal crystals, which I absolutely adore. Love the love the crap out of the animal crystals. And I don't. There's not even a real reason why. I always like little stupid trinkets.
Yeah.
And to have, and I'm almost positive, but I'm pretty sure the American Toys, Bandai of America, didn't release the little animals in the spheres. If they did, please let me know because I want to have some of these. But I know for a fact that on the Gyo Ranger toys, Bandai of Japan released little spheres with little animals inside of them that came with some of their Zords. Because I had the polar bear and the black bear from the Japan series, and they had the little guys, but I ended up getting rid of them, and I was like, man, if I could just keep these little stupid bears for no good reason, I'd be a lot happier.
Yeah.
But I just liked how they, I don't know, it was kind of like it was a monster in my pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
And they had these crystals in their pocket. They could like control them with these little bitty balls, like marble.
Yeah, marbles, exactly. And of course you have, the next one you got down there is the Jungle Blaster, which is a cannon made by combining the Ranger's secondary weapons. I like the Jungle Blaster, it's kind of cool. It wasn't anything really special to me, but it was a cool weapon. At first when I saw, and I saw this after I saw them form the Megazord, but we'll get to the Megazord weapons later. I saw this before. I had seen the Megazord stuff before this, but when Merrick came out with the Lunar Q, I was like, "Oh no, seriously, more sports, really?" I mean, I like it. It's a cool weapon. It's a cool trick that he does to defeat a monster. But still, when I was watching, I was like, "Oh God." Then you got the Lion Blaster, which is, when the Rangers were ensnared by Chimera Org, the Red Lion Wild Zord gave Cole the Lion Blaster, which he used to blast himself and his teammates to freedom. The blaster materializes from Cole's Lion Fang and can switch between Cannon and Gatling mode. Now, a Gatling Blaster, that's kind of cool.
Hey, just to back up a second.
Yeah?
I don't know what I was thinking, but the Crystal Saber is what they use to call their Zords.
Right.
Okay, yeah, that thing was badass, and I just happened to go to Google and just look it up, the toys. Apparently, they did come out with the little toys for the Crystal Saber, so now I have to go find that and buy it. But yeah, I didn't mind any of their weapons, you know, as a whole.
Yeah, I didn't. I think the only ones that I really had an issue with was like the Savage Cycles, because I'm not a fan of any of the motorcycles.
They're terrible. Every yeah. effing series, we have to have stupid motorcycles.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of those at all. When Cole's Savage Cycle was damaged beyond repair by enemy attack, he was given the Wild Force Rider by Animus. This new motorcycle is themed after the Falcon Wildzord and has flight capabilities. This will come in later. I thought the Wild Force Rider was kind of cool, but the Savage Cycles themselves, they just look like mini dirt bikes to me.
Well, the Wild Force Rider would have been okay.
Yeah.
You would have been the only one that get it, and the Savage Cycles never showed up. Because, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, it reminds me of the Wizard of Oz, because he kind of takes off and just flies it into the air. So it's kind of like the Wicked Witch of the West, just riding around in the sky on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he uses it in Forever Red.
Yep.
To save the day.
Yes.
And that's pretty much all we see of that thing, if I remember correctly. It's pretty much gone after that, right? It destroys.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So we pretty much got that thing just so he could destroy the mini version of Serpentera.
Yep. All right. So moving on to the Zords, you have the primary set of Wild Zords. You have the Red Lion, the Yellow Eagle, the Blue Shark, the Black Bison, the White Tiger, and the Silver Wolf Wild Zord. Out of these, which ones did you like? Any of them?
Oh, my God.
You liked them all, didn't you?
Yes. I mean, I've gave this rant 50 times. This by far is the best series, and this is in my opinion, this is the best series of Zords. None of these Zords I don't like. There's 50,000 Zords.
Well, there's 50,000 combinations.
Yes. Okay. There's actual, it says a grand total of 27 Zords that actually showed up. I don't think that is correct, though, because the Bison, you can't count the Bison twice. Anyway, at the end of the, I don't want to skip ahead here, at the very end of the season finale, they talk about all these other Zords and how happy it actually made me. And I was just like, why can't they show all those Zords?
Yeah.
But as a whole, I love these Zords to death. I own all of these Zords except for now Animus, and I will eventually own Animus when I find them for a decent price.
Yeah.
The Conga Megazord.
Yeah.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite, but just barely, because I love the Isis Megazord because he's got the Armadillo, and the Armadillo is my boy because they kick him like a soccer ball. And
that was my biggest issue with the series. Outside of the Forever Red stuff that I didn't like with Cole, that was my biggest issue with the series, was them using the Zords as sporting metaphors.
Like a bowling ball?
Even the bowling ball, I couldn't get around that. When I first saw it, when I was watching the series back, I was like, wait, no. When the Armadillo came out, I'm like, wait, no, they are not. And then, oh yes, they're using it as a soccer ball. And what really clinches it that I don't like it is because after the move is finished, a CGI soccer stadium.
Yeah, that's kind of...
And
that's
the
kind
crowd of... cheers! That's so fucking dumb. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to use an F-bomb, but I'm sorry. That is so friggin' dumb.
That is kind of lame. I'll give you that. But, I mean, what they were going for was they wanted to use some different Zords, so they brought in an Armadillo. What else could an Armadillo do? I mean, you could throw it at him.
Right, yeah.
And they didn't have to make him run like an idiot and kick him like a soccer ball that way. You know, they could have done it differently. I didn't mind how they kicked them, but yes, the soccer stadium was absolutely asinine.
Yeah, it was.
There is something I didn't like about Wild Force, and it's probably the only thing besides the awful acting.
Okay.
When Merrick would do he would hit his three Zords like a pool cue.
Yeah.
That was so ridiculous. Like that org has time to run all the way back home by the time Merrick puts out his three balls and hits them at him. It's like, all you gotta do is duck. You know what he's gonna do. It's taking him 45 minutes to set it up.
Yep.
But, not to get off the Zords, I just didn't.
No, I completely understand. I agree.
Did you like the Soulbird?
I wish they could have caught... Now, I don't know what the original... Like, the one that originally flew off that wasn't the egg. the mama bird. I don't know what that was going to be. I thought it was going to be something cooler than what it was. I honestly did. Because essentially it's just a platform for them to stand on inside the Megazord. That was kind of weak to me.
Yeah.
It just was. It's like, hey, let's insert piece into back of Megazord. It's just kind of weird. I like the Isis Megazord.
It's beautiful, dude. The Isis Megazord was amazing.
Yeah.
And the giant and the like the Volcano Falcon.
Yep. Awesome. I love that. That was so awesome. I love the Predazord. I thought that was really cool. Yeah. I thought that was really friggin' cool. Because I like the Wolf Zord.
Yes.
You know, I think this is the first time since the movie, since MMPR that I actually saw an animal Zord that I really, really, I mean, like I've liked some of the other animals, but like, I really like this wolf. And I think it was simply because of what Merrick was and his whole character arc. I really did like that. I thought that was kind of cool. I like how this is kind of jumping off the Zords, but I like how they're still using the whole evil, you know, start off evil, go good thing. Mm-hmm. But I liked how it was done in this series.
Right, right.
Because like, you have the story of 1,000 years before now and whatever else. I really enjoyed that versus a couple of the other seasons that we've covered where they've just essentially recycled Tommy's story with a different character. I liked how they put this one together.
From what I kind of took away from it was Zenaku wasn't evil, but he wasn't good either. He was more evil. Zenaku cared about Zenaku, and Merrick picked up that mask because he wanted that power, but he knew what was going to happen. So
Merrick
puts that mask on. He becomes way more powerful, destroys the evil, and then just kind of roams the world, you know, taking on anything and everything. Because there's times where he helps people that he shouldn't be helping. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't destroy people that don't deserve destroyed. He just destroys.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Decker, I guess. He just destroys enemies or opponents.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I really like that.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I don't know how I feel about the end where Merrick walks off on his own and then Zunaku's there and he's like, you know, I'm also a lone wolf. And he's like, well, follow me if you must. He's like, we got some catching up to do or something like that. Like, I don't get it because that you are Zunaku.
Well, no, not really, because the spirit of Zenaku, like in the story 1,000 years ago, the Zenaku mask was possessed by the spirit of Zenaku, and Merrick put that on, and that's how Zenaku took over Merrick's body. You know what I mean? So essentially, they are two different entities, and I didn't mind. I really didn't mind that part of the story, because what else are you going to do with Merrick? I mean, he already gave his cool jacket up. That by far, like, I'm not a fashion person. I don't give a shit about fashion, but I'm sorry. That Howling Wolf jacket was friggin' cool.
Yeah. I don't think I liked all of their jackets except for Cole, and that's only because he ripped off the sleeves like a DH.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I think, do you have any other comments about the Zords or anything?
Nah, just how fabulous they were.
We are going to head it over to Spada with his Sentai clip, and we'll be back after that.
Thank you, Rangers. You've done a great service to the entire universe.
Don't mention it, bro.
I guess it's time to say goodbye again. May the power protect you all.
1,000 years ago, the destructive orgs arose from the earth to lay waste to the land. With the help of the power animals, 5 ancient Gal warriors were able to defeat the orgs' leader, Hayakimaru, and seal the orcs. Should they ever escape, the shaman priestess, Tetomu, and the power animals entered a deep sleep on the floating island of Animarium. Over the course of time, pollution weakened the earth, thus allowing the orcs to slowly break free from their prison. In 2001, the Org Race fully revives along with Tetomo, and 5 warriors are chosen by the power animals. They must abandon their current lives and become the next generation of warriors. They must be Gal Rangers. Hey gang, Spade of the Bolt Matrix here, and today we are talking about Gal Ranger. Airing in 2001 for 51 episodes, Hayakuju Sentai Gal Ranger was the 25th anniversary series of the Super Sentai long-running series. At the time, it was a very popular show, but the series has been called a mixed bag by many fans. It is notorious for starting the multi-gatai element to the franchise, while also overusing CGI. The series is also considered as having some of the weakest personalities in the characters and some of the worst acting ever. The Gal Rangers themselves all started out as normal civilians. Gal Red was a veterinarian, Gal Yellow was an Air Force pilot, Gal Black was a retired sumo wrestler working as a florist, Gal White was a martial arts student, and Gal Blue was a freighter. That is a Japanese expression for someone between the ages of 15 and 34, not a housewife or a student, and does not have a full-time job. Google that. Power Ranger fans might notice some similarities with the characters from Wild Force. In fact, just about all the Wild Force characters have the same backgrounds. Well, except for Wild Force Red, as Bandai of America decided that Tarzan was a better influence for Cole than Dr. Doolittle. And also, Gal Yellow here in Gal Ranger is a guy, while in Wild Force, it's a girl. The Orcs are a race of Oni, or demons, born from the sadness and madness of humans. There are two types of orcs, the multi-horned variety and the one-horned variety, the latter being the more powerful. They are created in an underground cavern called the Matrix by a stone face called the Master Org. The main villains throughout the series are the crazed clown-like Master of Knives, Duke Org, let me try to pronounce this, Yabby Yabba, and the Org Priestess, Duchess Org Sui Sui. The Org monsters themselves are interesting because they are based on everyday objects such as cameras, wedding dresses, electric plugs, etc. Later in the series, the Highness Duke Orgs start to appear. There are three of these guys, and they are the generals of the Org army. Each one is based on several of the human senses. Org Shuten, the first one, is based on vision. Org Ura is based on sound and smell, and Org Rasetsu is based on taste and touch. And yes, they each resemble parts of the body. Google each one of those for pictures. At the end of the series, these three were resurrected and merged into the Ultimate Org Senki, or the final form of Master Org for all you Power Ranger fans out there. To fight the orcs, the Rangers employ the typical color-coded weapons, the Black Bison Axe, the Blue Shark Cutters, the Yellow Eagle Sword and Feather Cutters, the White Tiger Baton, but the Red Ranger's weapon is rather different. The Red Lion Fang is a claw-based weapon, but it looks more like a lion-shaped boxing glove. This was the first time since 1982 that the Red Ranger did not wield a sword or a sword-like weapon. Another first was the sheer number of mechs in the series. The total, well, let's just say there were a lot. Actually, there were 24 power animals total. Before Gal Ranger, there were normally two or three mechs formed, or combined into. In Gal Ranger, you can come up with at least seven. The first of which is Gal King, which is made from Gal Lion, Eagle, Bison, Shark, and Tiger. That was the Ranger's primary mech. They then obtained Gal Muscle, which is formed from Bison, Eagle, Gorilla, Bear, and Polar. Then Gal Silver's Gal Hunter is made from Gal Wolf, Hammerhead Shark, and Alligator. But that's just scratching the surface. The other power animals include Gal Rhino, Armadillo, Deer, Elephant, Giraffe, Falcon, Panda, Congo, Leo, Condor, Saw Shark, Buffalo, and Jaguar. And those are the only ones that Bandai actually produced into toys. In the last episode, it was revealed that there were thousands more, including Peacock, Manta Ray, and I think Unicorn? I could be wrong on that one. The number of different combinations is staggering. Fans had never seen this type of thing before, and some loved it while others hated it. Also, the series used way too much CGI. as opposed to the tradition of using physical models or puppets. And that alienated a lot of fans. Now, think back to 2001. Where was television CGI at? It wasn't that far along, and while it doesn't look bad on its own, it looked horrible next to more practical effects and the actors. The power animals also provided major plot points to which the Revolver episodes around. Much of the series was dedicated to the gotta catch 'em all aspect of the power animals, and that took something away from the characters in the show. Yes, each character had to go through trials to get the new shiny animal, but they ended up not really learning anything because the lesson they learned, they then just completely ignored in following episodes. It was very, very strange. And speaking of no changes to characters, Gao Silver and the Silver Wild Force Ranger, their storylines are exactly the same, right down to the freed human being kind of a dick to the other Rangers and running away to a bar with a pool table. The only real difference between Gao Ranger and Wild Force was that the org was named Loki as opposed to Zanaku. The last thing in the show worth mentioning is the priestess Tetomu, T-E-T-O-M-U. I'm not actually sure where the accent is in that, because during the series, the different actors called her or pronounced her name differently. It was really weird. Throughout the entire series, she acted as sort of a guide and mentor for the Rangers. She sings, but it's nowhere near as annoying or as painful as Princess Shayla, and she's also an excellent cook. She also has two unique abilities. The first of which is that she can power electronics just by touching them. And her second ability is to find trouble and or get herself kidnapped. Throughout the series, she is a walking trouble MacGuffin that moves things forward. It's best to compare her to Spike and Bumblebee from the original Transformers cartoon, or maybe Scott and T-Bob from Mask back in the 80s. She just happens to find trouble, or trouble finds her. Hell, in Hurricanger versus Gao Ranger, her getting kidnapped is the main plot point of the entire movie. Just really weird. In summary, Gao Ranger at the time was very, very popular. But nearly 10 years later, it is a very divisive series. The action was good, the mechs were unique, and the orgs were really good villains. But this is also the series that sparked Bandai's love with spamming the toy market with so many mechs that it becomes oversaturated. Thankfully, you can judge for yourself now. There's a torrent floating around out there on the ether that contains all the episodes and both movies. Also, the series is showing up on YouTube, so go check it out and decide for yourself. I'm Spade of the Bolt Matrix, and let's get back to the command center.
Haircut's regulation, right?
My Q-Rex would eat his dragon sword for lunch. Yeah,
discover new galaxies.
So, Princess Shayla in the Sentai version was a huge because she always got in trouble and she always had to be rescued. She was the damsel in distress. Wow.
Yep. After our last Time Force episode, I hooked up with Spada. And he actually sent me two giant flash drives, not flash drives, external hard drives.
Right.
Just full of a crap ton of sub Sentai stuff. So I'm very excited to watch all these different Sentai series that he's been talking about. I'm sure there's some I'll skip. He sent me a bunch of Mask Rider stuff, but like I love Spada's part so much that it gets me excited to watch the Sentai version of it, if I can find time to.
Right.
But yeah, that's, I mean, I guess it wasn't too far off ours, except for Cole was a veterinarian and our Cole was a monkey man.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is stupid.
Yeah, it's very stupid. So as far as the overall plot, you know, we've kind of talked about this plot line so far a little bit, but the series follows the adventure of Cole Evans, who had been staying with a tribe in the jungle for many years as he tries to find his destiny in the fictitious town of Turtle Cove. He encounters the Animarium, a place that many believe to be a fairy tale. He joins four others who had a common path to become the new leader of the Wild Force Power Rangers. Throughout the series, we have adventures with Cole and everybody else. We have the whole Zanaku Merrick story. We have Animus coming back.
Let me let me say this while we're talking about the Animarium.
Yeah.
Just real quick, on the Gokaiger series, which was last year's Sentai series, they're looking for something because their Zords, their main Zord is like a pirate ship, and that they fly around in the sky like Peter Pan.
Right.
Anyway, they're like they're going around and they're like looking, and you have no idea what they're looking for, and then all of a sudden they come up on the Animarium, and I'm just like, oh my god, this is amazing. So then they go and they capture, you know, they try to get like the red line. But I just wanted to say that.
That's awesome.
It was awesome.
That's awesome. In addition to the annual team-up episodes, Power Rangers Wild Force also had the special episode commemorating it as the 10th incarnation, Forever Red, by having Cole team up with the Time Red Rangers before him. In order of incarnations, Jason Lee Scott, Ruko, Tommy Oliver, Theodore J., Jarvis Johnson, Andros, Leo, Carter Grayson, Wesley Collins, and Eric Myers, in order to prevent the remaining generals of the Machine Empire in the costumes used were actually from Big Bad Beetleborgs and Beetleborgs Metallics, from unearthing and reactivating Lord Zedd's Zord Serpentera, which had been left buried on the moon. Forever Red essentially came out of one of the writers, because he was a fan of the original series. This also ties back into Scorpion Reign, I think. I could be wrong. I don't know.
What's Scorpion Reign?
Huh?
What is that?
Scorpion Reign was the fan-made thing. Remember I showed that to you about the events after Zeo that never happened? I think.
I don't think I ever went and watched that. I need to.
I don't know. I put it on your Facebook wall a while ago.
Yeah, send me that link again. I need to watch that. Yeah. No, I'm almost positive that Super Sentai did Forever Red too, didn't they?
I think they did, but they did it differently.
Yeah, it was way more epic. They had like 1,000 Red Rangers.
Yeah. I don't mind this story. I just find it really weird that they say that Serpentera was left on the moon when I could have sworn when Zedd left the moon, they were in Serpentera. So unless they returned at some point, I don't know.
Yeah, and another thing is Serpentera was extremely tiny.
Oh, God, yes. Forever. It was not the same model as what it was in MMPR.
Because Serpentera was like the size of like 3 Serpenteras from Forever Red.
Yeah.
If not more. Serpentera was giant, and this Serpentera was like looked like a minivan.
Yeah. I absolutely love this episode, and before I went back and I actually watched Wild Force, this was the only part of Wild Force that I even cared about. Mm. And I obviously I had seen Forever Red before I watched Dino Thunder, before I ever knew about Dino Thunder, but I don't know. It's weird seeing Bulk again. It's weird seeing Bulk and Skull again, because that scene, it's like, Bulk's like, yeah, I helped the Power Rangers save the universe. It was awesome. And Skull's like, yeah, I know. I was there too.
Right.
and then the phone rings, and Bulk answers it. And he's like, oh, hold on. He's like, excuse me, sir. I don't want to bother you, but blah, blah, blah. I just felt that it took away from what Bulk's character was, what they built up when they left off with Bulk and Skull, when they built up Bulk's character, and he wasn't just the teenage high school douchebag anymore. He wasn't. He was more than that. And just the fact that he's bowing down to the mysterious figure in the lawn chair.
Well, and he had been gone for so long, they're probably like, what can we do with Bulk? They probably didn't.
Right, exactly.
Character development.
And, I mean, obviously, we know. We know who it is.
Right.
We know who it is, but when I initially saw it, I'm like, wait a second. He cut his hair. What the hell?
I wish they would have done it. No, I guess they couldn't have done it vice versa. It wouldn't have made very much sense. But I wish they would have had Tommy sitting in the chair. Jason was sitting in the chair.
No, it was Tommy.
Was it Tommy?
Yeah.
Well, I wish Jason would have been the one introducing everybody and Tommy showed up.
I think that Jason was only there for the first 2 seasons in MMPR, because at the second season, that's when he left because of whatever personal reasons Austin St. John had. But the whole summit story happened in season 2 of MMPR, because that's when Aisha, Rocky, and Adam came in. So he was technically only there a year and a half in our time as far as from season to season. And Tommy has been there since. I don't mind that Tommy was the leader for the mission. I thought that was kind of cool because you just don't expect. What is that?
I don't know.
Stop it. You just don't expect that, you know, you don't expect Jason to show up. You just don't think, because TJ even says, hey, wasn't there another Red Ranger on here on Earth? Or not TJ, Andros says it. And Tommy was like, yeah, I guess I was hoping he would show up, but I guess he didn't. And then, of course, you hear the motorcycle and everything else. And I didn't even need to see Austin St. John take the helmet off. I knew just by his posturing and his body language, I knew that it was Jason immediately riding up on the bike.
Right.
Go ahead.
When he says that, when he's like, you know, I guess he's not going to show, you know, and then Jason pulls up and he's like, well, you didn't think I wasn't going to make it, did you? And he goes, oh, I knew you're going to be here. It's like, make up your mind.
Yeah.
You didn't think he was going to show, or you knew he was going to be there?
Well, you know, I just think at that point in 2002, it had been so long since we had seen them together, and them with, you know, the whole handshaking, grabbing thing, I thought that was really, really epic, because it had been years since we had seen the two of them together, and I thought that was really awesome.
And I think at this point, there's a lot more to that handshake than them being buddies from a long time ago. You know, because there was a lot of rumors going around what actually happened with what's Jason's real name?
Austin St. John.
Austin St. John and Jason David Frank and why he left and
he left because he was having, like, I think his mother got sick or
But there's rumors going around that he was pissed because they were gonna make Tommy the new Red Ranger and he was gonna be the leader and all, you know, just rumors. So it wasn't sure if who hated who, and Tommy's or Jason David Frank has actually said that he don't much care for Austin St. John. I don't know if he was joking or what, but there's a Morphicon video where Rocky is sitting next to him and he's like, well, I'm glad you're the Red Ranger and not the other Red Ranger. And then somebody says something, he goes, no, seriously. So maybe he just likes Rocky better in the long run, but, you know, from what I gather is, you know, they never really got along, because I'm sure if you were Austin St. John and this was your show for a season and a half, and all of a sudden this new guy shows up and they're like, well, you know, we're going to make him the leader now, you know, got to be a little mad.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get into all that stuff. I the way I look at a lot of stuff is what I see on, like, that's why I don't like buying DVDs nowadays and watching the behind the scenes stuff, because I like having the illusion of what movie and television magic is. You know, I don't mind hearing stories from the past and stuff like that, but still. So essentially, after Forever Red happens, they continue on with, with the story of the series. It wraps up. I thought it concluded very well. I mean, they all go. I hate to say this, but it was almost like the Avengers. They got the job done, and they all go their separate ways.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, the more I watch it, it's pretty much just like a throw together episode. Nah, I won't say it's a throw together. I like it. I really do enjoy it. It's good.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite episodes out of this series?
Let me look through. Hold on a second here. Droid.
Turn your phone off, dude. This isn't Pop Culture Network. This isn't It Figures, where phones go off every 10 seconds.
No, I won't say I really have any that I can think of that are just, you know, stand out. I mean, I really did like the entire season.
Yeah.
I mean, even the poop episode. Maybe Predazord Awakened, just because the Predazord is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I loved Reinforcements from the Future, the regular team up. I just love that because it was so friggin' cool.
Yeah, I totally forgot that was even going to happen.
Yep. I loved Reinforcements from the Future because it was so different. It essentially put a period on Time Force, because you have Rancic, who is now good. You have him wanting to do what's best for the world. I just absolutely love that two-parter. Very, very awesome. You know, and the end of the Power Rangers, I don't know how that was a two-parter.
What do you mean?
Because it seemed like they could have done all of that in one episode.
Yeah, maybe they stretched it out on purpose.
Maybe that's possible, but I don't know, because it was like part two is so, like, part one they get everything done, they save the world.
No, part one they don't save the world.
Well, part of it, yeah, because in part two they come back and they're all partying and they're all happy because they think that they've saved the world at the end of part one, and then something else comes, more stuff happens, but like the first 15 minutes of part two is nothing but a party for them.
No, you're confused. Part one is nothing but a party. Part two is when they're Animarium.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Master Org knocks Animarium out of the sky, and that's where, like, I'm pretty sure part two picks up there where they're like, now what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Part one is the party.
See, they could have done all of that in one episode.
They were just trying to make it a little bit more epic, you know, because they lost everything. And that's something I also loved, how badass they made Master Org, because they're like, uh-oh, you know, here comes the Falcon, and he's just like, boom, you're done, and they're like, whoa, crap, well, here, how about, you know, the giraffe, and this, and he's just like, ///, you're done, and they're just like, their crystals are all just like breaking right in front of their face, and they're just like, now what are we gonna do?
Yeah.
I don't know if I like how much of a sissy Animus was, because Animus was kind of like, he was talked about, he was built up, he was like, you know, damn, the great Animus pretty much took their Zords away, and that episode where he made them like, they were going to fight without their Zords, and they were going to fight without their powers, because Animus was just like, well, I'm going to zap you from your powers, but you're going to tell me that this great god, this great being of Zords is going to get taken out in 2 minutes by Master Org. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was kind of stupid. And the whole kid, I mean, like, it took me half of a second to realize that the little kid was Animus.
And that's stupid. The first time I seen that, I hated it. I was absolutely pissed.
Yeah.
The little kids, the twin brothers or whatever being the bears, I was fine with that. But don't throw this little ugly kid in the way.
Right, yeah.
Don't make me mad. You made me mad. See, so why'd you bring that up? Not mad.
God. All right, let's get into the music.
Did you like the end? Did you like how?
Yeah, I like the end. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was, you know, like I said already, it's essentially, hey, we're the Avengers. We've saved the world, and now we're going to go our separate ways. We have no more reason to be here. I like that. I thought it was cool. I thought it was, you know, nice that, you know, Danny and Max get to have their bromance off somewhere. I like the twist with Alyssa, where she's become a teacher, and it's her telling the story. I thought that was really cool.
I loved it. It reminded me so much of Young Guns 2, where Billy the Kid is telling the story.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty awesome. But I also liked how in the second episode, the end of the Power Rangers Part 2, where they called on their original Zords. It wasn't anything fancy. It wasn't any other combinations. It was the original Wild Force Megazord that ended up, you know, winning the day.
Right, yeah.
But yes, the Mrs. whatever her name was, Alyssa's last name was, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
That was pretty sweet.
Getting into the music, I like this theme song, but it's not my favorite.
Yeah, I'm with you. Totally agree.
It's
catchy. It's not going on my iPod. It's not the worst. It's for sure not the best.
Yeah. I like how they use it in the series, because most series, not just Power Rangers, but cartoons, television series in general, unless they have a 40-piece orchestra behind them like Batman the Animated Series, they generally just use the theme song from when the team comes together and fights the villains. I didn't mind that in this series. I liked the different music. I really liked Merrick playing the flute. I thought that was kind of cool. I thought that was a kind of cool tune. I thought it was a lame storyline of they have to play the flute and sing every morning for the deer, but...
When's their day off? Do they ever get to sleep in or what?
Apparently not.
I gotta wake up every day and play this damn flute for the stupid deer?
Yep.
Man.
Yep. That deer is pretty demanding. It's like,
hey, that deer was
unless you sing for me, I'm not gonna work for you.
That deer was moody.
Yes, exactly.
Well, what was the story on that? Because, to be honest, I've seen it so long ago now.
The story was...
Well, he did something to the deer Zord, right?
No.
Merrick did. That's why the deer was pissed.
Right. They never found him.
That's right.
Essentially, the deer has abandonment issues.
That's right.
Because originally they would sing and play music for him every day, and then when the Animarium whatever happened, because my memory's fading on what happened anyway. But
he's a foster child.
Yeah. Exactly. Essentially. You know, he got left behind on the Animarium when everybody else got sent off to Earth, and, you know, abandonment issues and whatever else, and that's why they have to play the music for him every morning. But the music overall, like, you know, the fight scene music, I have never, since, I would say, Zio, I've never really wanted them to do specific theme music songs like what they did in MMPR, like White Tiger or Go Green Ranger Go. I like that they use instrumental music now. I've always liked that. I thought that was, you know, different. You don't need, you know, a artist singing a song. Not to say that Ron Wasserman stuff is not good. It is very awesome. It's very good. But I think that for me, I've enjoyed the PR series since MMPR more because there isn't a theme song for every single piece of footage that has happened.
So you like it when they use the theme song for like their comeback?
Right.
Okay. I totally agree. And not to get off track here, but Ninja Storm, when they start to do something good with their Zord, they start to play that Ninja Storm song, and you're like, okay, and then they play a third of a second of it, and you're like, this is stupid.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is, like, remember in MMPR how we had Go Green Ranger Go?
Oh, yeah, no, I totally see what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. Those individual songs, okay, worked well for what MMPR is. In series since then, I like that they're not having the individual theme songs per person, per whatever. I like that they're just using an orchestral whatever, whether it's the theme song of the show or whether it's just another piece of music. I like that they're just doing instrumentals versus a vocal theme song overall. All right, do you have anything getting into the legacy? Do you have any of the Wild Force toys? I think you do, don't you? You like all this stuff.
I said earlier that I have them all except for Animus. I don't have any of the figures. It seems like to find the regular figures, because I hate action feature figures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're pretty hard to find complete with their weapons. You can find one here and there, but I'll probably pick them up eventually because I do like their suits. I like the way they look and all that stuff, but the Zords are kind of what I'm mostly into, and I have them all except for Animus.
Yeah.
So the Isis Megazord I was after for the longest time, and then I just did the Predazord episode on the last from the Command Center.
Yeah. So I think the Isis is the one with the eagle or the Falcon Shield, right?
Yes.
You got to do that one next.
Well, I already did them.
Did you?
Yep, I did them. I don't know. 4, 5, 6 months ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got them as soon as I got it. I got it for, I think I actually got that for Christmas. Mm. So I probably did it in December or January.
Cool. All right. Before we go to break, I do want to make sure I do read these, because else Chaotix 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 will come after me. Going back to Time Force. Time Force reignites the awesome with its amazing story and acting. The team up with Lightspeed Rangers is very brief but decent. It should have been a two-parter, though. He goes on to talk about Wild Force. Wild Force is decent, but is brought down by its less-than-stellar acting, though it was said that the Japanese directors directing the English actors is what resulted in those performances, so they're not entirely to blame. And the fact that the arc involves a Megazord god taking the form of a stupid preachy kid, the team-ups, pure win, though with an epic two-parter building upon the Time Force's already rich story and memorable anniversary episode that unites all 10 Red Rangers into the battle to end all battles. So thank you, Chaotix. We appreciate all of the fan feedback. I think Scotty's right. I'm going to wait until the end of the episode to start reading the fan feedback if it's super long. You know, I did respond to Pat in line with the email that he had sent me a while ago. So, you know, there you go. So we're going to take a break. You're going to hear some commercials from Pop Culture Network and Geekcast Radio Network, and then we'll come back to close the show after this.
What it is, friends. Sween Hollick here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
Are you a fan of Mattel's Masters of the Universe toy line? How about Princess of Power, New Adventures of He-Man, or 2000X Masters of the Universe? Hey guys, I'm Pixel Dan, and my new show, Power and Honor, the World of Masters of the Universe Toys, takes a look at all of the above-mentioned lines. In every episode, I'll take a look at a different action figure, vehicle, or playset from the world of He-Man. It's a great place where you can reminisce about your favorite toys from the past or even learn some things that you may not have already known. A new episode airs bi-weekly on He-Man.org and PopCultureNetwork.com. Swing by and check it out. Good journey.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Movie Week in Review is the Geekcast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble Mask. The Geekcast Radio Network has launched Mask to Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of Mask will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Mask to Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready. As podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
This is Karen Ashley, and you're listening to From the Command Center.
We are back, and I think that's going to do it for us. Unless you have any final thoughts you'd like to impart on the listeners.
This will probably be a season that I will buy when the DVDs come out. I do enjoy the Zords, besides the terrible acting at the beginning. Danny's soft, silly voice throughout the entire thing. I mean, overall, I really do love the series, more so because the Zords I just really, really enjoyed the Zords. Storyline, not as good as Time Force, obviously. Good, decent storyline, you know, but the Zords is what really does it for me.
Right, yeah.
And I know Spada said that a lot of the Sentai fans were mad because the CGI was too much. And I don't know if they toned it down for the American version or what, but I thought it was perfect. I thought it was just enough CGI. It wasn't too much. It wasn't too little.
Yeah. My only real complaint against Danny is he says the Iron Bison. And I'm like,
yeah,
since when is a country? Because a few times he says it like Iran Bison. I'm like, since when is a country an animal?
Apparently when Danny says it is. You know, I don't know where I've seen the picture, but that dude is so jacked. Like, I've seen him talk. He doesn't talk anything like that. He's muscular from head to toe, and it's just like, they got him like being like your big dumb friend. You know, everybody's got that big kind of dumb friend that's like, he's cock strong. You know, he's born strong, and that's what this guy looks like. Wow. But no, he's straight jacked.
That's funny. All right. Thank you for joining us here on From the Command Center. There's always get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the network websites, geekcastradio.com and popculturenetwork.com. You can also join the forums over at Pop Culture Network. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. We actually have a couple of iTunes reviews. I was waiting for this one. There was one left on April 28th. Says, not too bad, 5-star review by Reviewer Inc. I don't know what kind of name that is. Person says, I can't stop listening to you guys. You rock. I finished all of your episodes in 2 days. Now, this was posted back on April 28th. So, what was that? Episode 12 episodes plus all of the little in-between stuff. My boyfriend and I love Power Rangers Samurai, and we stumbled upon your podcast searching for MMPR on iTunes. I wish you guys would do more together. Can you guys please give my boyfriend Rich a shout-out? Hi, Rich. You guys do great, and don't tell my BF, but Scotty Cash is hot. Keep up the great work. Well, Scotty Cash is married, so
there
you go.
Where did you see that at? Did you send me that?
It's on iTunes. I didn't send it to you.
Oh, I was like, I don't see that. She said I was hot?
Yeah.
Did she send some? I'll see it.
Yeah. and then Tyler, I assume, is the same Tyler that left us the voicemail earlier. Amazing, guys. 5-star review. I know that you are going to review Wild Force, so my question is, what is your opinion on Zenako using a flute to summon the Protozords? I felt it was a little like Tommy and the Dragon Zord. Great show. Keep doing what you do. Yeah, I will say that that's part of the reason why I like Zenako and Merrick, is because of the flute, because it does remind me of Tommy and the Dragon Dagger.
Yeah.
You're over there looking for the thing.
Oh, it's like freezing my computer. I'm just trying to close it out now. All right, I closed it out. I believe you. No, I totally agree. I like this flute.
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome. You can follow us on Twitter. My name over there is TFG and Mike, and you can also follow at Geekcast Radio and at Pop Culture Net for Pop Culture Network stuff. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCast Radio Network, and I think it's facebook.com/popculturenetwork.com. I don't know. Just search out Pop Culture Network on Facebook. You'll find them. You can find the award-winning From the Command Center video series on PCN's YouTube channel, youtube.com/popculturenetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We now at geekcastradio.com have a service on our website where if you have a USB mic or USB headset, go to the website. On the right-hand side, there's a button that says Send Voicemail Now. You can do it directly from your computer.
Nice.
Yes. We hope you enjoyed this episode of From the Command Center and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing the Power Rangers talk with Power Rangers Ninja Storm. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Scotty Cash.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Let the power protect you.